tonight we're going to be covering, can you imagine, everybody online was just seeing me go like, tonight we're going to be covering knowing the will of God. And it is, honestly, one of the most misunderstood principles in God's word. But I want you to know, it's very easy to know the will of God. Easy. This is the problem. We've made things that are easy difficult. This is easy. There are certain things that are just, everybody's the same when it comes to the will of God. One of them is, it's God's will that you share the gospel. Romans chapter 1 declares that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And every one of us are called to share Jesus with our friends. The Bible says that we are to preach the gospel to every creature. This is Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 20. And the Bible declares that we should preach the gospel to every creature, and these signs, verse 17, shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they touch any dead thing, shall not harm them. When they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. And verse 20 says, and God worked with them, confirming his word with signs and wonders following. So we know that it's everybody has the same job. It doesn't matter where you are in the kingdom. Everybody has the same base job, and that is our job to share Jesus with people. We are literally the only way they're going to know. There is no other way for the gospel to be shared than you and I sharing Jesus with our friends. The Bible says, blessed are the feet of those who bring good news. Turn to somebody and say, I got some good news. I was just actually asking you to say that because I need to get online here. What we want to do is we want to do a share. So if everybody could do that, you want to jump online, go to His Tabernacle, and do a share of this. We can get this out more. Where are you? My wife got in the attic today and found all the baby pictures. So all of the, our entire family chat is covered now with pictures of Cody and Chad and Corinne. Get started. Start a watch party. There we are. Very good. So I want to make sure that we understand how to know the will of God, not only for everybody, the will of God based for everybody, but also for you as an individual. How will you know it's God's will if he wants you to do something or not do something? We must make sure we establish this in your own heart. The will of God is simple. Don't make something difficult that God has made easy to understand. I want to scoop back all the way back to the Old Testament. A lot of people don't know that God's will was revealed differently in the Old Testament than it is in the New Testament. It's not the same way. And in fact, some of the times the body of Christ has been taught poor teaching that they should use Old Testament principles for New Testament answers. And the problem with that is it's frustrated a lot of people. Also what it's done, it's confused a lot of people. So I want to show you how the will of God was known in the Old Testament, and then I want to show you how the will of God is known in the New Testament. Now, how many of you know you're in the New Testament? Amen. So this way you can know how to ask God for his desire for your life. Now, in the Old Covenant, the people of God didn't have the right to hear the voice of God. You know, like we can all hear God's voice. If we pray, God will speak to us. God will answer us. But in the Old Covenant, it wasn't that way at all. There were very few people that actually heard the will of God. Mainly, God used the prophets, the priests, and the kings. That's the main leaders that he had. When God spoke, those are the people he spoke through. So, like, if you weren't one of those, you never heard the voice of God. The only way you knew was a priest would stand up, a prophet would stand up, or the leader would stand up and say, this is the will of God and where we're going and what we're doing. Now, the Bible says that the prophets heard. We see this in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 15 through 17. And it says this. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he were a household ate for many days. And the bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry. According to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. So the word of the Lord was spoken by the prophet. And that's important. Now, God still does use prophets today, but what we're going to see is that prophets today are confirming word to the body of Christ, not the leading word to the body of Christ. Why? Because the Bible declares in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 14, and these are the children of God who are led by the Spirit of God. It doesn't say these are the children of God who are led by the prophets. Doesn't say these are the children of God who are led by the pastors. Doesn't say these are the children of God who had bad pizza and had bad dreams. These are the children of God who are led by the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit. So in the Old Testament, the prophets would speak, and also the priests would speak. We see this in the book of Leviticus, chapter 10, verses 8 through 9. We also see it in Exodus, chapter 4, verse 27. Somebody read one of them. Then the Lord spoke to Aaron, who is the high priest, saying, "Do not drink wine or intoxicating drink, you nor your sons with you, when you go into the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations." So the Lord spoke to the high priest. We also know he spoke to leaders and the kings. That's found, let's talk about David, 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 1 and 2. "Thus says David, the king, the son of Jesse, thus says the man raised up on high, the anointed of God to Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue." We also know that God used Moses to speak. So in the Old Covenant, we know that the prophets, the priests, and the kings or leaders were the ones that God spoke through to the people. People didn't hear from God themselves. They were spoken to through. That's important because a lot of folks are trying to make Old Covenant come into New Covenant. Now, it's not working. Yeah, it was last week too. A lot of people had problems with that. Okay, so I want to show you now what happens in the New Testament. Turn to someone and say, "This is how it works for me." That's right. You need to know that. The New Covenant was established through the blood of Jesus. How many of you are excited about the blood of Jesus? The blood of Christ changed everything for me. Changed everything in your life. I want to remind you, in the Old Covenant, the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies, the inner sanctuary, only once a year. And when he went in, he wore this long garment with bells on the bottom of the garment. Does everybody know why the bells were there? That's right. They would tie a rope around his foot. He would go in and he would do the sacrifices for himself as well as the people. Then he would go into the Holy of Holies. And if the bell stopped ringing, they knew he didn't repent from all of his sins. And they would drag him out by the rope, by his foot, and say, "Next, I'd repent. That's all I know. I'd be repenting quick." The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, that Jesus is a mediator of a new and a better covenant with better promises. So God sent Jesus so that you and I would not have to have a high priest go before God for us. But what happened was when Jesus Christ was dying on the cross, we know that as he took his last breath and as he gave up the ghost, the Bible says that literally the veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the people was rent from top to bottom and was opened up. And now the holies were open to the people. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. That new and better covenant with better promises. No longer do we need a high priest to go in for us. You and I have the right and the privilege to go before God ourselves because we're born again and washed in the blood. This is found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, 14 through 16, and it says this: "Seeing then we have such a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who does not sympathize with our weaknesses, but it was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly." Everybody say boldly. The word boldly there literally means to be outspoken. So the Bible says that we should come boldly before the throne of grace. That's before God's throne. "That we may obtain mercy and find grace in time, help in time of need." So Jesus paid the price so that we no longer have to have a high priest go in for us, But we now, because we're washed in the blood of Jesus, have the right to go into literally the Holy of Holies, the actual presence of God, and talk with him, have a relationship with God. For the first Adam brought death, but the second Adam brought life. And that's the awesome part about our Jesus. He came to restore what the Father so desperately desired, and that was that relationship with people. And only by the blood. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There cannot be forgiveness without the blood. Not just the blood of an innocent. One paying the price for somebody, yet had done nothing wrong. And Jesus was the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundations of the earth. He came and he died. He lived a sinless life. Yet he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. Oh, I love preaching about the blood of Jesus. Why? Well, because thank God for the blood. Thank God for Jesus, because without Jesus, we'd never be able to have that intimate relationship with the Father. I love Jesus. How many of you love Jesus? Amen. Now we have the privilege that they didn't have in the old covenant. The children of God could not go into the Holy of Holies. The children of God could not stand before God's presence. The children of God could not do that. Only the kings, priests, and prophets. Actually, only the high priest once a year could go into the actual inner court. But now you and I, through the blood of Jesus, can all go before the presence of God, and we can all have a relationship with him. Now, I don't know about you, but that should make you happy. Amen. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15, that we can have a confidence when we pray before the Lord. And now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, the answer is on the way. So because of the blood of Jesus, because of him dying on the cross, because now he is our high priest standing before the Father for us, because now we can come into the presence, now we can hear ourselves. They couldn't do that in the old. Now you can hear the voice of God. Now you can literally hear the voice of God. How many of you have ever heard the audible voice of God? One, two. My uncle did too. My uncle said he was called into ministry by the audible voice of God and asked God never to do it again. Said it scared him. Amen. No matter what, you can hear the audible voice of God. But most of the time we hear the inner voice of the Holy Spirit. How many of you know the Holy Spirit? Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three yet one. The Holy Spirit, where does he dwell? The Bible says when you confess Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, when you ask him to be the Lord of your life, that now you become the temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, as the temple of the Holy Spirit, you are literally possessed by God himself because the Spirit of God makes residence within your spirit man. The Bible says you were dead in your trespasses and sin. You did not know God. You were in darkness, but now that you're born again, you've come into his marvelous light. Now you've gone from death to life, from darkness to light. Now you're a child of the King. Now you're a son and daughter of the Most High. Now you're a citizen of heaven. Now you have the right to come before the throne of God boldly because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Woo! Makes me happy. Amen. I'm just going to preach myself happy tonight. I love the fact that God has given us the privilege of being before him. Now, I already told you about Mark chapter 15, verse 38. Mark 15, 38. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. So Jesus gave us that access. So what does the Father use to speak and to direct us with? Well, that is, and he is, the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to remind you that God the Father was the person of the Godhead working amongst mankind from Adam all the way to Jesus. So when they dealt with God, remember, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three yet one, but the personage of the Godhead that was working with mankind on the earth from creation to when Christ came was God the Father. Once God sent Jesus Christ, now Jesus, the Son of God, was on the planet and he was God in the flesh, working with mankind until he died and rose from the dead. Once Jesus died and rose from the dead, the Bible says in John chapter 14 and in John chapter 16 that God sent the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three yet. Come on, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three yet. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three yet. Amen. The triunity of the Godhead. Now God, the Holy Spirit, is the one working with mankind on the earth. So the Holy Spirit is God. I think we've actually belittled the Holy Spirit. And this is a very sad thing. You need a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He is God, and he is the one who's speaking to you. He's bringing the message from the Father to you. And where does he dwell? Inside of you. So really, you can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit from the inside out, not just from the outside in. That's the great part about being born again. You're not alone. Literally possessed by God himself, by the Holy Spirit. So that verse I already quoted, Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So if a person is not led by the Holy Spirit, are they a child of God? It's an interesting thing. You know, everything changes. You know, if the Holy Spirit is not directing, then the question is, are you in relationship? Because this is not about religion. It's not about you going to a priest saying four Hail Marys, our fathers, Father, forgive me for I have sinned. It has been 27 years since my last confession. This is not about you going to a preacher and that preacher standing in the gap for you. You don't need anybody standing in the gap. Jesus stood in the gap, closed the gap. Now you have the right to come before the throne of God boldly. But when we're talking about being led or being directed in our lives, the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of you is the one that will direct you and lead you. And so understanding how he directs you, how he leads you, helps you understand who he is. There are a lot of people that don't know who he is or have not learned who he is. Therefore, what happens is when he's given directions, they don't listen. And it's important to know how he talks. I would strongly encourage you to read a book. It's called Good Morning, Holy Spirit by Benny Hinn. Good Morning, Holy Spirit by Benny Hinn. I think this is one of the best books you can get on learning the voice of the Holy Spirit. You'll be blessed and encouraged. Well, I don't like Benny Hinn. I don't really care if you like Benny Hinn or not. Doesn't mean he didn't write a good book. Amen. There are some people out there, I really don't care for them, but they've done some good things. So I'll grab a hold of them, take what I can, and I'll eat the meat and spit out the bones. Amen. This is a book you don't need to spit out any bones with. It's all good meat. I wouldn't tell you a book if I didn't think it was going to help you, encourage you, and build you. So the Holy Spirit is the one who guides us. And many people, I remember somebody said to me, Pastor, I just need a word. Can you please give me a word from the Lord? And I said, yes. Read your Bible and pray every day. They said, no, I need a word. I said, that's what it is. Read your Bible, pray every day. Why? Because if you're looking for someone to always give you guidance, you'll never listen to the Holy Spirit, and you'll make them God and not him. Now, it's not that God can't use people to confirm his word, but when you're looking for other people for the word, we had a woman in my last church who moved very strong in the prophetic, and God would use her to help people and to confirm what he was speaking to their hearts. Then I had a group of people that would just start going to her. Do you have a word for me? Do you have a word? I need a word. And I taught her, tell them to go read the Bible. Because that's the greatest word there is. The word of God. So when someone's always running around trying to find a prophet to give them direction, they've really missed the understanding of how God now leads his church. That's why learning how to pray is important. That's why spending time with God in prayer is important. How can you get the download if you're not? How can you get the download if you're never hooked up to the computer? This is where you learn how to pray. You learn how to talk to Jesus. You learn how to listen to Jesus. Well, I don't know how to do that. Well, we're going to get to that chapter. It's not that far off, so hang on for the ride. We're going to teach you how to pray. And so we want you to learn how to start asking the Holy Spirit how to speak. The word lead there literally means to take with one, to lead by laying hold of, and this by made a bringing to a point of destination. So the Holy Spirit wants to bring you to a point of destination in your life. If we're not getting led in the correct manner, then we become lost, disillusioned, or confused. And I've met a lot of Christians like that. They're very lost, they're very disillusioned, and they're confused about the will of God for their life. The religion tries to tell you how to do certain things, and I want you to know you don't have to jump through any hoops. You need to hear the Holy Spirit. And so learning to do this, this is how we're going to learn tonight. So here are some things not to do. These are your not to's. Number one, do not be led by your pastor. What does that mean? Well, what are pastors for? The pastor's job is to preach the word. But if the pastor's word does not match the word, then you're not led by the pastor. You should be checking what the word is that the pastor is preaching. If it doesn't match up with the scripture, I don't care how nice he is, how cute he is. The fact is, if it doesn't match up with the word, you're not led. You're not led by the preacher. I had this one preacher. Man, I tell you, he actually believed that all women who wore jeans went to hell. Anybody ever met a preacher like that? Any ladies here ever cut your hair? You're going to hell. Any women wear makeup? Going to hell. Any women have earrings? You're going to hell. Any women wearing pants? You're going to hell. Any men your hair touch the back of your collar? Ed, you don't have that worry, do you? You're going to hell. What happens is a lot of people are creating rules and regulations within the church world that aren't the Holy Spirit. And people believe, I remember one time I had, and I've given the example before, I had a woman with beautiful, beautiful, long red hair. It went down to the crease in her buttocks. Beautiful hair. She came to my house one day with her husband, and he's really upset. He sat at my kitchen table, and he starts to cry. And I said, well, first of all, that makes me uncomfortable. What's up? And he said, she cut the glory. She cut the glory. I'm thinking, what? Well, the Bible says, he said, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if a woman cuts her hair, she cuts the glory. And the wife, man, she wasn't crying. She was mad. She looked over, she says, I trimmed the dead ends. But you see, he was taught by his pastor that if a woman trims her hair, she's cut the glory of God, and now she's going to hell. That's why you can't be led by preachers. You got to be led by the word. And if the pastor isn't leading with the word, then you don't listen to that preacher. Amen. I want you to say that. Amen. If I start preaching off, I'm not preaching the word of God. You are an absolute fool to stay in this church. Absolute. I would expect you to leave. But if I'm preaching the word, then you know you're getting the direction from the Lord. Well, why is that? Because if I preach the word, whose word am I preaching? God's word, not my word. These are the children of God who are led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit and the word always agree. The Holy Spirit always agrees with the word, and the word always agrees with the Holy Spirit. Somebody said to me, well, you know, the Lord told me. He spoke to me, I'm telling you, he spoke to me and told me to leave my husband and my children and to go on the evangelistic field. It's a lady telling me this. I looked at her and I says, wrong God. And she says, how dare you tell me I'm not hearing the voice of the Lord? I said, do you really think that God is going to destroy your family, strip the children of their mother, to send you on the road to be his vocal point and his mouthpiece? I said, that's totally anti-word. Well, I don't believe it anyway. I just believe what God spoke to me. The Spirit and the Word always agree. The Spirit and the Word always agree. The Word and the Spirit always agree. Period. Is that why if the preacher's not preaching the Word, you're a fool to stay? You're also not led by the church. There are a lot of people who have... they've sucked down really, really, really bad doctrine. because the church told them. There are actually churches that teach that if you don't go apart, if you're not part of their denomination, you're not going to heaven. It's actually in their doctrine. It's actually part of different churches' doctrine that God no longer heals. Yep, they don't believe it. They took that right out of the Bible. There are denominations now that there are fivefold ministry gifts, the prophet, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, teacher, and evangelist. Ooh, come on now. She was quoting them with me. Good, you got it? The apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and evangelist found in Ephesians chapter 4. They no longer believe there are apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers. They only believe that there's a pastor. So they've extracted four out of the five. I'm telling you right now, you can't be led by a church. You got to be led by the Word. Because that might be good church philosophy, but it's not good Bible. Amen. I said amen. So you're not led by the church. You're led by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit and the Word always. Agreed. Come on, the Word and the Spirit always. Agreed. Amen. Now, I absolutely believe in the prophetic mantle. I actually believe in the power of the prophet. We definitely have a prophet, Brother Ted Shuttlesworth. He moves very much in the healing ministry and miracles, but he mainly is a prophet. In all the years I've known him, I've been listening. Actually, the first time he ever spoke into my life was 1987. That was a week and a half ago. 1987, and from 1987, when I first met him, every prophetic word he has ever spoken has always come to fruition, every one of them. He is a prophet of God for the nation. He is also a prophet of God when he speaks to an individual. You'll see that when he comes in April. Now, prophets are powerful, and I believe in them. But remember, the Old Testament prophet are the ones who led the people. But the New Testament prophet, part of the fivefold ministry gifts found in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, which we just talked about, the job of the prophet in the New Testament is to give not direction, but more confirmation. Well, why is that? Because these are the children of God who are led by the, come on, these are the children of God who are led by the, these are the children of God who are led by the Spirit of God, and the prophet of God will come in and will actually confirm the message, confirm the word in your heart, what God has already been speaking. Now, when you hear a word from a prophet that you have not personally heard yourself, we call it put it in your back pocket. Take that word, put it in your back pocket, and if it's truly a prophet, it's going to come to fruition. Amen. But you don't base your whole life on a word that you had never heard. Ooh, that rhymed. You never base yourself on a word that you've never heard yourself. For these are the children of God who are led by the, come on, these are the children of God who are led by the Spirit of God, not by the prophets of God. Yet the prophets of God are powerful. Some of the prophecies over this house, we're still waiting. We put them in our pocket. We pray over them. We decree over them. The Bible said to Timothy to wage a good warfare with the prophecies that you've received. And it's important to know that prophecy has a great part in our body. And I'm talking personally as well as corporately. Some of the prophecies that have been spoken have been confirmed by multiple prophets that have come to the house. One of them, the very first time we ever preached a word in this church, the very first message was preached by an African-American prophetess out of Dallas, Texas. And she stood up on the pulpit and she prophesied and declared that this house would be blessed with thousands of people and that there would be so much money coming into this church that we're going to have to look for places to give it away. Probably about 10 years later, another prophet was there and declared the exact same prophecy. They don't even know each other. They'd never met. Exact same prophecy. Why? It's the same Holy Spirit. But it's not a new message. It's a message that I've known that God's blessing is always going to be on this house. Can I hear an amen? In fact, great testimony of this year, 2019. We ended our year in 2019. We are finishing out the year at $1.89 million has come in through tithes and offerings and giving at His Tabernacle Family Church. And we have spent, and I want to encourage you to come to the annual business meeting. It's found in February. Keep your eyes open. We'll be announcing it. I'd love to have you there because we actually disclose where every dime has gone. And you'll see how we've been able to take God's money and literally change this region. What's been exciting is we are talking to a new marketing firm right now. And the lady is not born again. And she said, what do you guys do? So I told her to go sit with Brittany, our administrator. And she came in today and she said, I am absolutely, my breath was gone the moment I sat with Brittany. It took 2 hours to explain all the outreach, all the love that this church gives to our community, all the money that we spend to bless the children, all the money that we spend to let our region know that God is good and not bad. It is a phenomenal testimony on the blessing of God as God has continued to increase this year, 30% increase in finances. Another great blessing is that Ithaca, when you ever have startup churches or you start what we call campuses, they very rarely ever fund themselves. You usually have to take a lot out of the general fund. From day one, both campuses have completely paid for themselves, and the main campus has not had to put money into them. God has sufficiently taken care of them. And now, so much now that they're actually putting money away, let's talk about Ithaca. Ithaca is very expensive. To buy a building there is probably going to cost the church between $2 and $3 million for a building that we could probably pay less than $1 million for here. Isn't that crazy? So they're already building a savings account. Isn't that exciting? They're a year and a half old. God's already providing for all that we need. God is faithful. Amen. So I want to remind you, the prophets are important, but prophets are the confirmation for where God has already spoken to you. So we also know that the Bible says that as we are not directed by pastors, that we are directed mainly because of the word that they speak. Now the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, where there is no counsel, the people fail, but the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So pastors are important. There is wisdom within the pastors. I'm not negating my own gifting. The fact is that we have a position and a spot, but we are not God. I don't want to be your God. I don't have the time to be your God. I don't have the interest to be your God. I don't mind being the voice piece of God. I don't mind sharing what God's word has said. I don't mind sharing wisdom that God disperses in my life to be able to build and strengthen you as the children of God. But the fact is I don't ever want to be your God. I am not your God. I am not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to direct you with the scripture, and the scripture will direct you how to go. Amen? That is a great relief for your pastor. Amen. My job is very simple. My job is to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. My job is to correct you. That is part of my job. If I see you wandering off in a direction, I'm going to come not with my words, but the word of the Lord and say, here, you're not biblically based. I want to encourage you to come back to the direction that the Lord's Spirit is directing. And you'll find that if he's not speaking the word or speaking in his own opinion, well, then there's a problem. But if they're directing you through the scripture, then reproof and correction are good. Everybody say amen. Turn to somebody and say, I love to be corrected. You liar. Amen. The church is important, but the church is not your director. Amen. A fleece. You are never directed by fleeces. This is a big one for the church world.
Well, I'm believing God. I'm going to lay a fleece out.
Does everybody know the fleece? Does everybody know the fleece story? Gideon? You did it once? Did you get fleeced? Amen. In Judges chapter 6, verse 37, it says this. Look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor, and if there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on the ground, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. Now, what he did was he put a fleece out. So he took some fur and he put it out. He said, if there's dew on that but nowhere else, I know, God, this is you. Or people will say, Lord, I know this is you. I know this is your direction if you do this for me. I want you to know the devil can do it just as well as God can. And in the old covenant, he did it once. How many? Everybody say once. You don't create a doctrine out of once. There is not a principle out of once. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let all things be established. Not once. So when you see something done once, it is good. It was done. But once, which means it's not for you to keep doing. There are principles that we lay in order. So fleecing means you're going to get fleeced. Amen.
Well, Lord, I know if you do this, I know it's you. I'll know it's you if you do this, Lord. I'm going to do it.
And then all of a sudden, guess what happens? It happens. And then all of a sudden you realize, man, that wasn't God at all. That means you got fleeced. So don't put out a fleece. Don't say, God, if you do this, I'll know it's you. These are the children of God who are led by the, not by a fleece. You need to know this. It's important. A lot of people have placed their spiritual life on a fleece. And the devil's come in and met the fleece. And then they're confused. They're mad at God. Where are you, God? I thought you told me to do this. He says, I never told you to get fleeced. I told you to get led. So don't put fleeces out. That's not the will of God for your life. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Another way not to be led is by opened and closed doors.
Well, Lord, if you open this door, I'll know it's you.
I remember one time I was offered a church in Dayton, Ohio, Conuit, Ohio, and in Pennsylvania. And I was offered all those three churches at the same time. If I had prayed, Lord, whatever door you want me in, just open it. Well, all three doors opened. So what am I supposed to do? Take out a set of jacks and figure it out? Am I supposed to take dice and roll dice and say, oh, lucky seven? No, you're not led. You're not led by open and closed doors. We see it in the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. We see also in Colossians 4, 3, meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word. Every time you see the door opened, it's not for direction, but for opportunity to preach. Well, God, if you open this door for me, I'm going to, some people said to me, well, you know, I'm moving. And I said, where are you moving to? Oh, they tell me the place. And I said, well, why are you moving? Well, the Lord opened the door. I said, is there a church there? I don't know. Duh. I start searching for a church. There's not a church. There's this one family. Literally, I'm not even kidding you. Well, we're led to this area. Really? I said, where's the church? It was an hour and a half away. It was the closest church. That means they couldn't participate during the week. That means they really couldn't get involved. Now, these folks travel an hour and a quarter. How far do you? About an hour and a quarter to come to church. But they've been believing God to be able to move up here. We're believing with you. But here we are. People live in this open and closed door thing. Well, Lord, I'll go through this door if you open it. All of a sudden, the devil's going to open a door for you. I'm telling you. He doesn't mind opening doors, so you go in the wrong one. These are the children of God who are led by the Spirit of God. So actually, what was very interesting about that those three churches, the Holy Spirit wasn't leading me to any of them. In fact, I went up to one of my oversights who had offered me the one in Dayton, Ohio, and I said, brother, I just want to thank you for the opportunity, but I don't feel a peace in my heart about going there. He says, well, that's really foolish. Your family's going to starve. And I said, well, I said to him, I guess my family's going to starve because I can't take that because I'm not led by the Spirit to go there. Well, my family didn't starve, and I know I didn't starve. I'm more than okay, and my kids are okay. I mean, Pastor Cody, stand up. You look pretty okay. Yep, he looks pretty okay. My son Chad is 6'2" or 6'3". He looks okay. And my daughter Corinne, she looks pretty fine too. My wife's getting a little skinny, but that's okay too. I like that. So here we are. You know, we're all okay. And I wasn't led to the church in Conuit. I wasn't led to the church in Pennsylvania. I stayed on the road until the Holy Spirit spoke to me in 1997. 1996, and said, start a church. I was laying on a couch in Kentucky, and the Holy Spirit said to me, start a church in Horseheads, New York. And I said, no. The next year, I'm on the same couch, the same parsonage, at the same church. And the Holy Spirit said, I told you to start a church in Horseheads. And I said, no. I like the road. That fall, 1997, I'm mowing the lawn, 3 acres. While I'm mowing the lawn, the Holy Spirit said, I told you to start a church in Horseheads. And I said, Holy Spirit, why do you want to start a church in Horseheads? I said, there are over 100 churches in the Elmira region. Why do you want another one? And he said, I want you to tell them that I love them. And I want it to be a place that's filled with grace and mercy, that people will come. I will send people to you that normally would never walk into another church. Now, that was 1998 we launched with 5 people at the Horseheads Holiday Inn. I just want you to know, I think we heard okay. But it wasn't open and closed doors. The voice of the Holy Spirit. So I want you to start paying attention to the Holy Spirit. Not open and closed doors. Well, Lord, if the circumstances are right, then I'll know it's you. No, the devil can work a circumstance just as well as God can work a circumstance. The Bible doesn't say these are the children of God who are led by the circumstances in your life. It says these are the children of God who are led by the... Come on, these are the children of God who are led by the... Amen, the Spirit of God. We walk by faith and not by sight. Circumstances are all sight. You don't walk by your circumstances. Well, I guess this isn't God. Nothing's working out. Duh! How do you know you're not walking away from your miracle 3 inches from where you are? Walk by faith and not by sight. We are led by the Holy Spirit, not by our circumstances. If you start being a believer that's being led by your circumstances, let me tell you, you're going to have a roller coaster ride with God, and you're going to be puking a lot. Because your stomach is going to be all messed up. If you're led by the Spirit, you can become consistent and constant. Shout it out loud with me. Consistency is everything. Shout, consistency is everything. Where's the church? What do you mean? I don't understand your question there, Heidi. Re-ask that question. Okay, how are you guided? How does the Holy Spirit guide you? Number one, through the Word of God. Psalms 138, verse 2 says this, I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above your name. This is why there is a void in most believers' life. What believers don't realize is the enemy desperately works to keep you out of the word. Desperately. He desperately works to keep you out of this class. Well, why is that? Because we're preaching the word in this class. He keeps you out of the word, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So our faith walk by faith and not by sight, is energized by the word. And the Spirit and the word always agree. So when you're walking by faith and not by sight, because you have faith in God and his word, then you'll keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. You'll not turn to the right hand or the left, but you'll keep walking forward, for the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. The Word is your pinnacle director in your life. You need to know the Word of God. So give yourself a hand clap. Well, I think you're even better than that. You should give yourself a better hand clap than that. Here we go. Come on now. Why are you giving yourself a hand clap? Because you're in the Word. Tonight, you're in the Word. You are a brilliant individual. Because now the devil can't come in and tell you something that's not according to the Word, and you'll agree with it. The Word is your final declaration of what God says about his will in your life. If the word doesn't say it, if the word doesn't say it, then you got to question it. But if the word says it, you obey it. If relocating, one should always ask, where's the church? Thank you for reminding people of that. You're welcome, Heidi. Because God, here it is, God will never send you to an area where there's not a church that will take you higher. Ever. I don't care how much money you make. You can make $50 more an hour and go to hell. Damn your children. Starve your purpose that God put you on the planet for. You are not led to a place if there's not a church that will take you higher. That was free. You're welcome, Heidi. Amen. So the word of God is your direction. Number two, the voice of the Holy Spirit. God does speak audibly. I've never heard it audible. But mainly he speaks by that still small voice. 1 Kings chapter 19 verse 11 and 12 says this. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and a strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. Circumstance. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of your spiritual man, your spirit man. You are a trichotomous being. You are a spirit that has a soul that lives in the body. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit dwells in your spiritual man. Literally stays there. You are the temple. The residing place of the Holy Spirit. So the still small voice of God comes from within. Some people call it your conscience. Some people will say it's a nudging. Some people will say, I don't know, I just feel I had to do that. That's the Holy Spirit. A great way to describe that is if you've ever been to the supermarket. Anybody ever been to the supermarket before? And you like candy bars. And all of a sudden, you go down the supermarket. Do you ever notice that they put candy bars in the exit aisles? They're brilliant. But man, you're going through, and all of a sudden, you just look over, and you see that Three Musketeers, because it's shining bright. Jesus. And you just feel like, you know, I don't understand. I got to have that Three Musketeers. Okay, let me get that. It's like a push that you can't push away. A voice that even though you keep submerging it, keeps rising up. Where you don't understand, but you just know that it's not you. That's the voice of the Holy Spirit. The closer you become to him, the more you know him, he actually doesn't need to nudge. He'll just whisper to you. You'll learn his voice. You'll learn how he speaks to you. You'll learn how he directs you. And you'll find the voice of the Holy Spirit will be very powerful in your life. But it is a process. Just like a baby learns their mother's voice. The only children that do not cry in this church when I get near them are the ones that their mother carried them in their womb. And the child has heard me preach for months. In fact, those children don't get upset when I start shouting. They go to sleep because they know my voice. They've heard that whisper through the skin, through the umbilical cord, through the whatever it is. They've heard me speak. They know my voice. And it's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. The more you spend time with him, the more you'll hear him. The more you hear him, the more you know it's him. Now, there are times you're going to say, well, I thought that was the Holy Spirit, as long as it's not anti-scripture, anti-word, and you make that step. Well, I don't know. I must be wrong. But you'll learn from that. Acts chapter 16, 6 says this. Now they had gone from Phrygia to the region of Galatia. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. The more you learn the voice of the Holy Spirit, he'll not only tell you to go places, he'll tell you not to go places. So I'm going to tell you. I'm going to confess. Is that all right? You don't mind me confessing? It is. 2020's been a lot more than that. Here we go. Ready? I wanted a cat. Now, I'm not a cat person in any way, shape, or form. I love dogs. I've always had dogs. I've had a dog in my house since I was a child. So for 53 years, we've always had a dog in the house. Always. Well, we're not home enough. And so there's a family in the church. I bless them with my dog, who is a phenomenal animal. His name is Benelli Brown. He weighs 125 pounds, stands about this high, and he is just the most gentle giant you could ever meet in your life. So I bless them with Benelli because I knew how they're going to be spoiled. The Pruitts, she's a barber, and you know people are in her office all the time. So the dog's just being loved. I love that. So the other day I'm in my house and I'm realizing I do not have an animal in this house and I do not have time for a dog. Let me find a cat because they don't really like people anyways. But at least you can pet it every once in a while and keep it happy. And so I got online and my daughter-in-law, Jade, is allergic to cats. But there are cats that are hypoallergenic. So I found the most hypoallergenic cat you can get, and I got online and I started looking for a cat, and I found the cat in Maine. So I'm talking to them and they're telling me the cat's name is Mina. She's a little female. She's 10 weeks old. Sent me a picture. And I said, that's stinking cool, because you know Mina is not going to be the name of this female cat. It's got to be Larry. So I'm working, and I see their website's there. The email's good. I'm actually texting them on the telephone, so I know I've got 3 points of contact. I'm not a dumb buyer. And then all of a sudden, they send a contract. It's an amazing contract. But inside, I kept hearing, don't do it. Something's not right. Don't do it. And thinking, well, I got a contract, I've got the internet, I've got this, I've got that, everything makes sense. I sent them the money, they're going to ship the cat the next day. The next day, they've shipped the cat, and all of a sudden, I get an email that says, you have to have insurance on the cat to receive the cat. Your kitten's now in Georgia waiting for the money to come with the insurance that you cannot pay by credit card. It has to be cash. And we'll reimburse you the next day. So I called the shipping company, and I hear the guy's voice. Then I call the insurance company, and I hear the same guy's voice. And then I remember the voice that I talked to in Maine, and I said, ding, 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 call American Express. Cancel this thing. It was, that's just so mean to do that to people over a kitty cat. But you know what? I knew better. I heard that. Don't do it. Don't do it. See, it doesn't matter if it looks good, smells good, scratch and sniff the whole thing. When you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, listen. Now you'd think after 30 plus years, I'd be smart enough to do that. Sometimes you want something more than God wants you. And you know what? God will give you what you want. You just have to pay the price later. Because he's saying no, not to cheat you. He's saying no because he knows your future. So when you hear that still small voice, don't do it. Don't avoid him. You're going to push it off. Try to talk yourself out of it. But inside you know, don't do it. So now we've got to wait for the whole process with American Express as we have contended the purchase. What a pain in the rear end. But if I had just listened, I did listen. If I had just obeyed, Let's get to the brass tacks here. If I had just obeyed, then I wouldn't have been in that position. See, the Holy Spirit is so, he so much wants to be part of every part of your life. I'm talking, he wants to be part of you buying a kitty cat. He wants to be part of you going to work. He wants to be part of protecting you. Pull over to the side of the road. I'm trying to remember who, I just heard this story. Someone was just telling me that they were driving down the road and the Holy Spirit told them to pull over, and they pulled over. And I'm trying to remember, I don't know if it was Abe or one of the other truck drivers in the church. And they pulled over and did something, and then they started, it didn't take them long. And then they started back on the road, and no more than 5 miles up the road, where they would have been if they did not pull over, there was a full-blown tractor-trailer truck accident, and they would have been in the middle of it. Holy Spirit wants to protect you. That still small voice, you'll hear him inside. He'll nudge you. You'll feel that, I've got that nasty feeling. Whoa, that nasty feeling. All of a sudden, you're just going to go, ooh, something's not right. When you feel that, you know that's the Holy Spirit telling you, don't do it. And he could be Italian. I don't know. Don't do it. Just know, if you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, he's going to protect you. Amen? Now, the next way to know the voice of the Holy Spirit is the peace of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says this, and let the peace of God rule your hearts, to which also you were called into one body, and be thankful. The word rule there in the Greek means to govern. It's a governor. Now, what I learned was that my Harley Davidson has a governor on it. They put a governor. What's a governor? It keeps you from going past something. They put a governor, at just over 105. I think it's 105, 107. You can't get your motorcycle faster than that unless you do engine work. Well, that's stupid. I paid for that motorcycle to go as fast as I want it to go. But that's not what they believed. They put a governor on it. How many of you have a riding lawnmower? How many of you know that there's a governor on there? Or you'd be doing wheelies. The governor slows you down when you get too far. Your peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding. The Bible says, let the peace of God govern your heart. When you don't feel peace in your heart about something, stop. Your peace is a governor in your life. That's the Holy Spirit telling you, don't go there. Stop. In fact, I've had people say to me, Pastor, this just makes sense. I'll give you another example. I wanted my first motorcycle, and I didn't have any money, no money. So I had a certain amount of cash in my bank that I had been sitting on, and it was under $1,000. You can't buy a Harley for $1,000. And so I said to the Lord, I said, God, you said you give us the desires of our heart. I want a Harley. All of a sudden, how many of you remember when Corny took a dive? At $1.27, I said, I want to buy some stock. And the Holy Spirit, I said, is this okay? And I felt a peace about it. Well, I talked to one of the men in the church who is an investor, and he told me, don't do it. Don't you do it. I'm telling you, they're gonna close their doors. And I said, I don't know, man. I feel a peace in my heart about this thing. Well, because I didn't ask you anything. Bad enough when Siri starts talking to you. You didn't even talk to her. And I took the money, and I invested it into the Corning stock. And I just felt the peace, and I just sat back. And all of a sudden, I sold it at like $9.80 a share. I know I could have gone higher, but it was time for the Harley. And it paid for my Harley Davidson. I asked it. The Holy Spirit directed me. I felt peace. And I got just what I wanted from the Lord.
I got just what I wanted. There ain't no doubt about it. I got just what I wanted from the Lord. You see, when you learn how to be governed by that peace, and if you'll find in your book, there's a lot more examples that I have written down. If you go by that peace, you will find that he will protect you with peace. You ever turned on the television, maybe watched a preacher, and you just went, ooh, something's just not right. Can't explain it, don't understand it, not sure what's going on, just something ain't right. That's the peace of God saying, no, turn the channel. The peace. Learn to live in the peace of God, and you'll always stay in the will of God. Let me say it again. If you stay in the peace of God will rule your hearts, then you will always stay in the will of God. Now, another way, the last way, is called the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we have, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 8 through 10. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Now, two gifts that have the sense of direction is the word of wisdom, the ability to know someone's future without you knowing them. So God will give you a bit about their future without them actually knowing anything about you. Now, with that should be a confirming word to you. If it's not a confirming word, put it in your back pocket. The second is prophecy, and we've already talked about that, which is the conveyor belt. So I challenge you to learn how to listen to the Holy Spirit. Build a relationship with the Holy Spirit, and you will always find that God will keep you blessed. You will always remain safe. If you are always governed by the Holy Spirit, you have insider trading. Why is that? Because he knows the future. He knows everything about your life. He knows when to warn you. He knows when to kick you. He knows when to nudge you. He knows when to spank you. He knows all those things that would keep us safe so that we're going to walk in the will and the way of God. When you avoid the voice and the direction of the Holy Spirit, you will always find you're going to crash or learn an extremely hard lesson that you didn't have to learn. So welcome the voice of the Holy Spirit. Peace. Come on now. You remember what they are? Gifts of the Spirit. Peace. The Word. The voice. Do I need to teach this all over again? All right, we'll resume this same chapter next week. This is an important one. Some of you are going to ask me these questions, and I'm going to tell you, go back to your book. Go back to your book. You should have all four of these. These four books in your library are going to empower you to not just learn the first time, but when you have a question, you can go right back into them and find the answer, because they're going to be as a reference right in your little library. So I'd encourage you to get all four of them. I don't think we even have all four right now. I think we only have book one for next week. So if you don't have a book one and need a book one, you can bring the finances next week, or you can go to the book table on Sunday morning. But you want to get your book for chapter one or book one next week. Does anybody have any questions on how to be led by the Holy Spirit? Yes. Hold on, I think we have a microphone. Mr. Microphone! Oh, I'm holding it. You want to run that turn?
Hello. Oh, well, my name's Julie, and I do love the Holy Spirit. I'm just enamored by him. There's something cool about him, I think, but often I get confused. Is it his word or is it my own mind? Because my mind tends to run very quick, and I think I talk myself almost into thinking it's him because I want something so bad. How do I discern between?
That's an awesome question.
Is it?
You're welcome.
That is an awesome question, because that's all of us. That's not just you. So what happens is, how do I know it's God? The first thing you always do is go back to the Word. If it doesn't line up with the Word, and sometimes getting a cat doesn't line up with the Scripture. It doesn't say anything about don't buy a kitty cat from Maine by people who are thieves. It doesn't say anything about that. So what do I do when it's not like that kind of answer? That's when the peace of God rules you. And what you'll do is you'll find that you're going to make mistakes. Just don't make them big mistakes. When you make mistakes, you're going to say, oh, I should have known better. You know what? I knew it. And you'll learn the voice. So the peace and the voice, the peace and the voice, and the Word always agrees. So sometimes that's that trial and error, but you'll get it. And once you do, it's like you'll never be moved again unless you do what I did, and that is just ignore him. Now I got to wait to get my money back. Amen. It's horrible. Anybody else? Anybody online? Do you have a question online? This is your moment. Hi, Donnie. Pastor Donnie Wagner. How are you? Jimmy Comfort. Jen. Serena. How are you? Zena. Susan. Barb. Kay. Elizabeth. Let me see who else. Shaylin. Elizabeth. Lisa. Oh, I need to move back to Elmira to get back in church. Amen. We love you, Lisa. Chris. Let me see who else is on the. Austin. Tony Green, Charles Thomas, who else? Stephanie, Angel, Pastor Bishop Williams, Justin, how are you? Lori Warner, Michelle, how are you? Jessica from Florida, let me see who else is on there. That's good. Open doors are opportunities to preach. Yes, amen. Tracy, look at that. Campeche, Mexico is on tonight. Ted, Angel, let me see. Matt Mitchell. Hi, Matt. Let me see. Ingerwood. Oh, that's a pretty neat name. Mark, Robert, David. Wow, we had a good crowd tonight. Gary, Dale, Rosalind. Let me see. Wow. Cameron, John, Felicity, Tricia. Julie, Renee, wow, we had a good crowd tonight. Michael, that's a good name, by the way. John, Terry, I think Terry's in Florida as well. Matt Crouch, let me see. Wow, this is a good crowd. Anybody online have a question before I close? Antoinette. Hello, Tracy, how are you? I love Rock Solid Faith, too. Do you know I don't have to teach this anymore? We have more than enough teachers in church, but I love teaching Rock Solid Faith. Where is that young man? Come here, young man. Do you see that hand raised? All right.
Have you considered bunnies? Many people have bunnies as pets. They housebreak. They have personality. They're very affectionate. They're very gentle. They're quiet. They're not nearly as destructive as cats can be, you know? They really make great house pets. They do. Yep. They're very soft.
Can you explain more about the peace? Okay.
Run, child. Run. No, don't throw it. Explaining more about the peace. Inside, you know when there's something just not right. My wife and I were at this board member's house. This was way back in the beginning. And actually, she was our financial lady, so she was keeping the books. They invite us for supper. Good supper, good supper. The woman could cook, man. Thank God. And they're a great company. And this was in the town of Big Flats. And after supper, I went out on the front porch, thank you, right on the front porch, and I just stood there for a second. And inside I got that nasty feeling. And I'm saying, what is that all about? I mean, I prayed over the food. I'm going to be okay. What is this? And then my wife walked out, and I looked at her, and I said, you thinking anything, feeling? She goes, man, something's not right. Something's not right. Neither of us had peace. 3 days later, she quit the job. She quit doing the finances. And then we started, she gave us back all the records, shut off notice for the electric, shut off notice for this, shut off notice for that. She didn't pay any of the bills. We were like $2,000 in the rears, which, you know, now today that's not a big deal. But back 2000 then was like, But we were prepared for that 3 days before it happened. The Holy Spirit, that's what he does for me. Before the stuff hits the fan, I usually know 3 days before because my peace leaves. And I just know, Then I start praying. If you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, you need to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, speak with other tongues. Because when you get that nasty, yucky feeling and you're not sure what it's about, you start praying in tongues. That's the Holy Spirit praying through you. And he's God, so he can only pray the will of God. And he'll pray you right through. And it bring you to a place of peace, even when hell is licking your toes. Better? Anybody online? Last call, and then we're closing. Oh, bunnies. Pot belly pigs. They taste good, too. Okay. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for being here this evening. You know, I personally, and I know that we've said, I don't understand why this place is not packed. I mean, this is stuff that literally changes your entire life. And I don't care how many times you've heard it, it will constantly change your life. There's always a new nugget that you can walk out of in every single class. So I'd encourage you, even when you graduate, be like Richie. He's getting ready to start his sixth time through Rock Solid Faith next week. It's been all right? Yeah. He's learned a lot. I would encourage you to do that. Everybody online, I thank you that you're online. But if you can be here, it is different from being on the computer. And I would encourage you to be here. It really is important to be in the house of God. Brother Ted he gave me a new perspective. It's called the proximity anointing, and you'll find that too with Jesus, because you can be near Christ, but when you get in his proximity is when the anointing is stronger. The anointing is stronger where you are. So I would encourage you to always be right there. And during worship on Sundays, don't sit in the back. Get up front. Why? Proximity anointing. The closer you are, it's not only that it's the front, but it's where people are really wanting more. That will create an atmosphere for a stronger anointing. I challenge you to be near the front on Sunday mornings. All right. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. I want to remind you, never come to the King's house without a gift. If you're online tonight, this is your opportunity to give. Make sure you go and hit the give button. If you have not yet tithed this week, you can tithe right online or text to give. I don't have any clue how to do that, but you'll figure it out, or just give right online on the website. We love you. Father, I just thank you so much for your word. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you have not left us. We are not being marietted. We are not people that are lost. We are not people that are living on accident. You are directing us, leading us, guiding us. Thank you for your word. Oh, God, we love your word. Thank you that it is life. Thank you that it is meat. Thank you, Jesus. You said the words that you speak, they are spirit, pneuma, spiritual, and zoe, the God kind of life. We receive that through the Holy Spirit in the guidance every single day in Jesus' name. Bless the offering. Bless the giver. Increase our lives in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I have three grow books. Does anybody want a grow book? I only have three of them that we're going to give away. One, two, and three. Very good. I love you. Have an awesome week.